Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
الصلاة على النبي والسلام على الرسول والأنبياء المرسلين كلهم مكرمون. Blessings be upon Nabi, peace be upon the messenger and the prophets who were sent. All of them were honored. Adam, Idris, Nuh, Hud, Saleh, Ibrahim, Lut, Ismail, Ishaq, Yaqub, Yusuf, Ayyub, Shu'ib, Musa, Harun, Dhulkifl, Dawud, Sulaiman, Ilyas, Al-Yasa'a, Yunus, Zakaria, Yahya, Isa, والآخر الخاتم الأنبياء محمد المصطفى. الصلاة على النبي والسلام على الرسول والأنبياء المرسلين كلهم مكرمون. Prophets who were sent, all of them were honored. Nawwir qulubana ya Allah, ka qalbi rasulika ya Allah. Nawwir qulubana ya Allah, ka qalbi rasulika ya Allah. Adam, Idris, Nuh, Hud, Saleh, Ibrahim, Lut, Ismail, Ishaq, Yaqub, Yusuf, Ayyub, Shu'ib, Musa, Harun, Dhulkifl, Dawud, Sulaiman, Ilyas, Al-Yasa'a, Yunus, Zakaria, Yahya, Isa, والآخر الخاتم الأنبياء محمد المصطفى.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. السلام عليكم and welcome you to today's episode of Everyday Muslim. On this show, what we do is try to address the misconceptions on Islam. We do our best to foster peaceful coexistence and of course, we, you know, guide ourselves on this path of Islam, because ultimately our goal is Jannah, right? Every one of us, our ultimate goal is to be in Jannatul Firdaus, and so we constantly strive together, encourage each other, you know, stick together, keep our feet firm on this path, on this journey, Islam. You're welcome to Everyday Muslim. Bi'iznillah, it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful one today. If you listen to the nasheed that I played earlier, it's about the prophets, the 25 prophets that were mentioned by name in the Quran. And of course, the tail end of it, the last two names that were mentioned, these two beautiful brothers in prophethood, Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, peace be upon him, and of course, the seal of prophets, the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa salam. Those are the two names you heard last. For those of you that don't know, Isa is Jesus, son of Mary, peace be upon him. And on that note, today's topic, we're going to be looking at Jesus alayhi salam, peace of Allah be upon him, and Mary, the Virgin Mary, as you'd like to call her, the mother of Jesus. I'm not going to be doing this alone. My name is Amina Adams. I do have a renowned scholar who will be working with us on the show. But before I go to him, he's here with us already. Before I go to him, just a bit of a background on what we're going to be talking about today. Jesus and Mary in Islam, may God exalt their mention. A messenger is a prophet who's given revelation from God. The Torah was revealed to Moses, Musa alayhi salam. The gospel was revealed to Jesus, peace be upon him. And the Quran was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa salam. Many people may be surprised that Muslims love Mary, the mother of Jesus, peace be upon him. In the Quran, the chastity, piety, and status of Maryam are confirmed in the same way that the virgin birth of Jesus, peace be upon him, was confirmed. No woman is given more attention than Mary in the Quran, as she receives the most attention of any woman mentioned in the Quran, even though all the prophets, with the exception of Adam, had mothers. Adam, as you know, the very first prophet on earth, was created by Allah directly. No father, no mother. Of the Quran's 114 chapters, Maryam is among the 8 people who have a chapter named after them. The 19th chapter of the Noble Quran, chapter Maryam, means Mary in Arabic anyway. So in Arabic it's called Maryam. In the other languages it's called Mary. The 3rd chapter in the Quran is named after her father, Imran. Chapters Maryam and Surat al-Imran are among the most beautiful chapters in the Quran. Mary, peace be upon her, is the only woman specifically named in the Quran. No woman is so honored. In the case of Jesus, peace be upon him, believe it or not, his name was mentioned 25 times as a way of exalting his rank and status, and also to highlight his impact on humanity. The Quran mentions many of his miracles right from the cradle. And of course, Surat al-Ma'idah, that's the 5th chapter of the Noble Quran, which means the table spread, is also one of the longest chapters in the Quran. It's one of the miracles that was credited to Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. In fact, no Muslim is a Muslim without believing and professing belief in Jesus Christ as a messenger of God. More so in the Hadith, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be and blessings be upon him, is reported to have said, "I am the closest of the people to Jesus, the Son of Mary, in this life and the hereafter." It was said, "How is that, O Messenger of Allah?" And the Prophet replied, "The prophets are like brothers from one father with different mothers. They have one religion, and there was no other prophet between us." And he's referring to himself and Jesus, peace be upon him. This is contained in Sahih Muslim, number 2365, in case you want to reference it. As Muslims and Christians, Jesus Christ is common to us, and irrespective of how he is conceived in both religions, he represents a remarkable bond shared by the practitioners of both Islam and Christianity. On the program today, we have a respected Muslim scholar who will help us dive deeper into the rich resources available in Islam and Islamic traditions about Jesus and his mother. May God exalt their mention. Sheikh Najim Din Jima is the chief imam of Lighthouse Muslim Community in Lekki. He is a political scientist par excellence. He's a public policy analyst. He is a keen commentator on social and political affairs and a key influencer on social media. He also happens to be an executive in the oil and gas industry. Well-rounded Sheikh Najim Jima. Assalamu alaikum to wabarakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, sir? How are you doing this morning?
Alhamdulillah, I am well, and I thank you for generous introduction.
It's good to have you here once again, and I'm sure you are as excited as I am to delve into this. It's all about Jesus, peace be upon him, and his mother, Mary. May Allah be pleased with both of them. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Of course, the name Jesus Christ is common to both religions, and that's what we want to explore today. The common grounds, if there's any differences, why the differences exist, and how we can, you know, work better together. So exploring the verses of the Quran, we come across a profound portrayal of Jesus, peace be upon him, that unveils a perspective perhaps unexpected for those less versed in Islam. Delving into the layers of this narrative, we seek your insights to help our audience understand what significance does Jesus, peace be upon him, hold in Islamic teachings, and how is he revered by Muslims?
Alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillahi amma abad. First of all, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guiding us to the yet, to the end of another Islamic, I'm sorry, Gregorian calendar, the year 2023, as we all look forward to the new year of the Gregorian calendar, year 2024. We beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to spare our lives beyond this year that is coming, so that we may remain in servitude to him. And welcome all the listeners of our program. So the first question is, what significance does Jesus hold in Islamic teachings? You know, in Islam, we have prophets and we have messengers, alayhim assalatu wassalam, upon them all the peace. All the messengers were prophets, but not all prophets were messengers. It is believed that Allah sent about 124,000 messengers to mankind, of which 124,000 prophets, of which some were messengers. Now, amongst the messengers was Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, otherwise known as Jesus Christ. And then even amongst the messengers were messengers who were of a higher status than others. And Jesus Christ alayhi salatu wassalam was one of such. He is spoken about a lot in the Quran, and as you already alluded to, 25 different times Jesus is mentioned in the book of the Muslim. Indeed, the Islamic faith requires that a person, i.e. a Muslim, believes in the prophethood of Jesus Christ, and indeed all the prophets, without which their belief is deficient. In other words, if a person says, I am a Muslim, but I do not believe in Jesus Christ, then his Islamic belief is rejected. So much so that Allah says to us in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, the longest chapter in the Quran, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ أَمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَلِمُؤْمِنِينَ كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. That the prophet believed in what was sent to him, as well as the Muslims, and then each, i.e. the prophet and us Muslims, we believe in the angels, we believe in the books of messages, i.e. in terms of the Torah sent to Musa, the Injil, Gospel sent to Jesus, the Zabur sent to David. Paul Dawood in our religion, and of course in the Quran. And then the Quran says, La nufarriku baina ahadin min rusulin, that we Muslims, we make no distinction between any of these messengers. And to wrap up on this question, perhaps the most distinguishing factor about Jesus alayhi salatu wasalam to us in Islam is that he is the only messenger who is going to return before the end of time. The Quran says so. And hopefully, we'll get a chance to explore this further as we go through the hour. But Nabi Isa, alayhi salatu wassalam, Jesus Christ, was, is, and will forever remain of great significance to us as Muslims. Hopefully that answers that question.
No, alhamdulillah, very well, detailed explanation, alhamdulillah. In the Quran, Mary receives unparalleled attention, as I'd mentioned earlier, with the 19th chapter of the Noble Quran, Surat al-Maryam, in her honor. Additionally, her father Imran is also acknowledged in the Quran. The third chapter of the Quran is named after him. Can you please shed light on the role of Mary in Islam and her esteemed position in the Quran?
Yeah, sure. Mary, Maryam, mother of Isa, alayhi salatu wassalam, is spoken about in the Quran with so much honor, so much dignity. But for me, and this is subjective, I must say, for me, the highest of those honors is that Mary is the only woman mentioned
by name
in the Quran. The only woman mentioned by name in the Quran. The Quran in its Arabic form, in its pure Arabic form, is 611 pages long. And if you translate it into English, it goes into about 1,000 pages, right? Of these 611 or 1,000 pages, there is only one lady mentioned by name, and that is Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ.
Peace be upon him.
And to underscore this further, in Surah Tahrim, that is chapter 66. The glorious Quran, Allah talks about four ladies. The wife of Noah, that is Noah, to Christians. The wife of Lut, that is Lot, to Christians. The wife of Pharaoh, that is the Pharaoh, to Christians. And then Mary, right? Now, talking about the wives of Noah, the wife of Lut, the wife of the Pharaoh, Allah says, Allah says, I am setting for you an example of those who disbelieve. And then Allah says, the wife of Noah was from among those who disbelieve. So was the wife of Lut. And then Allah, having talked about these women in relation to their husbands, Allah now moves to those who believe. Again, using women as example. Then Allah says, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مُرْأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ إِذِ قَالَتْ رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي. To the end of the chapter, Allah says that, and amongst those who believe was the wife of Fir'aun, the wife of the Pharaoh. Again, Allah talks about her only in terms of her husband. But then listen to what Allah says when it comes to Maryam. Wa Maryam ibnata Imran allati ahsanat farija fanafakhna fihi min ruhina. Then Allah, for the first time, mentions a name, and it says, Maryam, mother of Jesus, the one who guarded chastity, and the one in whom our angel breathed, and then she conceived this great prophet Allah. And then Allah concludes that verse by saying, wa kanat min al-qanitin, and that Maryam was certainly from among those who believed, who are obedient to Allah. So for me, this is honor without parallel in the Quran, right? And for me, next to this honor is that in the entirety of the Quran, as you already mentioned during the introduction, a chapter was named after her, chapter 19 of the Quran, and she was the only one. And finally, to wrap up this question, in the Quran also, in the chapter Al-Imran, which means the family of Imran, that is the father of Maryam, right? Allah says that Maryam has been chosen to be above all the women of the world. This is how much the Quran and Islam honors Maryam and Mary to the Christians.
What a beautiful time to be called Maryam, subhanAllah. And I have a Maryam sitting right across me and, you know, grinning ear to ear, mashallah, tabarakallah, alhamdulillah. Perhaps I can add Maryam to my name right now, right? Alhamdulillah. Now, so, Imam, how do Muslims view the miraculous birth of Jesus, peace be upon him, and the story of Mary in comparison to other Abrahamic religions? Because I was fortunate. I attended a Christian school, and I know the story that was handed down to us. So, you know, how do these two stories compare? What's narrated in the Quran and what's narrated in other Abrahamic faith? And, you know, how do we Muslims ultimately view his birth, the birth of Jesus, peace be upon him?
Okay, before that, let me say with a grin in my face as well, that I do have a Maryam as a daughter as well.
Barakallah.
And I will mention how we came to naming our Maryam, Maryam.
Mm.
I haven't had two girls in a row.
Mm.
We're hoping that these two girls will be followed by a boy, and then a third girl in a row came. And you know how you know how Maryam was named herself?
No, right? Her mother also wanted a boy child.
Wanted a boy, but it was a girl that came.
No.
And then almost in resignation, say we name this baby Maryam. So following that example, we also named our third girl, Maryam, as well. Having said that, we do have a boy, and he's actually the first in the family. So going back to the question as to the miraculous birth of Jesus Christ, alayhi salatu wassalam, the story of his birth is well told in the Quran, and it is a requirement of faith for us Muslims to believe in the miraculous birth of Jesus Christ, alayhi salatu wassalam. For those who may want to read the details of this, you can go to the chapter 19 of the Quran from around verses 16 to 34. The details of the circumstances of the birth of Jesus is mentioned. But I'll paraphrase it. You know, when the angel Gabriel appeared before Jesus, before Maryam, because Maryam was in a secluded place. So the angel appeared before her, of course, in the guise of a man. She did not know it was an angel standing before her. Upon seeing angel Gabriel, right, perhaps out of fear, Mary said, and I quote, "I seek refuge from the most gracious from you, if you do fear Allah." I.e., Mary thought, what is a strange man doing with me in seclusion here? And that sums up the person that Maryam was. And then the angel replied, "I am only a messenger from your Lord to announce to you the gift of a righteous son." So even before Jesus Christ, alayhi salatu wassalam, would be born, Allah described him as a righteous son. Astonished, Mary was astonished, and she said, "How can I have a son when no man has touched me? Nor am I unjust." And then Gabriel responded, right, "So shall it be. Kala kadhalik, kala rabbik. So shall it be, because your Lord has spoken."
No.
And then he breathed into her, and she conceived him. And as Mary went through the pains of labor, she said, according to the Quran narration, that "I would actually be better dead than going through these pains which I am going through right now." Remember that she was alone. She couldn't tell anyone she was pregnant. She had to observe a fast of not talking to anyone, and she was going through this pain of childbirth all alone. And as Mary uttered the statement that wouldn't I be better dead than being in this situation in which I am, then a voice came, and the voice said to Mary, grieve not. Your Lord has provided a water stream under you. The commentators of the Quran are divided in terms of whose voice that was. Was it the voice of Gabriel, or was it the voice of Jesus himself? Because Mary was all alone. The angel had left her. She was by herself, and the angel wouldn't have remained with her in that state in which she was trying to give birth. But a voice came saying, do not grieve. And then she looked underneath her, and she found a stream of water. And then the same voice said, shake the trunk of the date palm towards you, and it would let out fresh fruit. Mary did, and Allah made fruit available to her. So she gave back to Nabi Isa, Jesus Christ, alayhi salatu wasalam, in these circumstances, and all that I have narrated, all the quotations, everything is from the Quran. That is how detailed the Quran is in terms of miraculous birth of Nabi Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam.
And just to reference what she quoted, is chapter 19 from verses 16 all the way to 34 35, and that's where they can get the details of this birth of Jesus, peace be upon him. So for those that want to go and read in details, in fact, if you do not have a copy of the Quran physically, just go online and type, on any of your search engines, just type Quran 19:16-34, and you'll pull out the whole story. Jazakallah khairan.
And I recommend that to our Christian listeners, as I do to the Muslims as well.
Alhamdulillah. Just to go on, we'll go on a break now, but let me just drop this question. According to your explanations, in Islam, Jesus is a sign of God's power, except because when you said, there was no intervention, it was just Jibril alayhi salam, angel Gabriel, that came to her and spoke to her. God showed people that he could create Jesus without a father, as he created Adam without parents. In Adam's case, no father, no mother. Now, Jesus is also a sign that God is well able to resurrect all people after death, since the one who creates from nothing is, very well able to bring back to life what he has taking life from. Now, given this important information, is the Islamic perspective and narration concerning the identity and status of Jesus antagonistic and disparaging of the status accorded to Jesus by the Christians? But I don't know if you got my question, sir.
Well, the last bit of it. So is our narrative, the Islamic narrative,
does it antagonize what the Christians
believe? Or is it discouraging of the status?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead. Let's take this before we go on a break. Yes, sir.
Okay. Not at all. Right? See, the entire narration that I gave with respect to the last question was from the Quran. Surely that was complementary rather than antagonistic. And I think the pattern of ways comes in the Christian narration that Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, i.e. Jesus Christ, rather than being a messenger of God, was or is God himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Now, any Muslim who believes in this will fall into disbelief. Is an absolute no-no when it comes to our faith. Firstly, about the miraculous birth, it is for us Muslims no more than a manifestation of the limitless power of Allah. And if the Christians will put Jesus Christ on a higher pedestal than his Lord intended for him, because of his birth, Then Prophet Adam, alayhi salatu wassalam, the first being created, will be even more deserving of sin, as he was brought to be without a father and without a mother. Jesus was born of a lady, but without a father, right? Adam was created from nothing. Allah says to us in his book, in the Quran, I do not have the reference for this straight away in my head. Innama amuruhu idha nam, I remember the reference. Innama amuruhu idha arada shay'an an yakula lahu kun fayakun. This we find in Surah Yasin, right? And that is chapter 36. Cannot remember the verse.
That verse.
Towards the end of Surah Yasin, on the last page of Surah Yasin, Allah says, "Innama amuru idha arada shay'an." If Allah, if our Lord intends anything, He would simply say, "Be," and then it will be. No. Kun, fire, kun. And then it will be. So the miraculous birth of Jesus was no more than a manifestation of the ability of our Lord to say, "Be," and it will be. See, the biblical narration, see, we have in the Bible a narration that Abraham, alayhi salatu wassalam, Ibrahim to us, was old, and Sarah, his wife, was 90 years old when Isaac was born. Right? Now, can a 90-year-old person give birth to a child? No. But for us as Muslims, these are mere manifestations of the powers of Allah. And this, with respect to Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac, is just another example along those lines. By the Christian narration, right, Jesus was crucified and he died on the cross. But by our narrative as Muslims, it was only made, and this is an ayat, a verse of the Quran as well, it was only made to seem as though he was being crucified, and it was only made to seem as though he died on the cross. Our book tells us that Allah just raised him alive to himself, and he's going to come back. Right? Now, the Quran states that Jesus spoke as a baby in the cradle. The Quran says that Jesus made out of clay a figure like that of a bird, breathed into it, and it became a living bird. The Quran states that with the permission of his Lord, Jesus restored the sight of those who were born blind, and that with him, with the permission of his Lord, he was able to make the lepers to walk again. And more than all of the above, it is there in the Quran, and even some of the Muslims were surprised hearing this, right? That Jesus made the dead to rise again, right? But then the chapter in the Quran says that he did all this with the permission of his Lord. All of this we can find in Surah Al-Maidah, that is chapter 5 of the glorious Quran, from around ayah 109.
Surah Al-Imran is chapter 3. Imran.
Surah Maidah is what
Maidah, that's chapter 5, okay.
We can find all these miracles of Jesus, we can find in chapter 5, verse 109 of the glorious Quran. And you mentioned this during the introduction, and I'll rest the question on this, that when his people requested from him that a table full of food be sent from heaven, right, Jesus called upon his Lord that this is what my people have requested. They want a table full of food. They want food that you find in the winter come in the summer and vice versa. And they want to see it in front of them. Then Allah said to him, Allah responded, I will do as they wish. But anyone who refuses to believe in me after this, I am going to punish them. And all this we find in the Quran. So certainly, there is no way that the Quranic and Islamic narratives about Jesus is antagonistic or disparaging. Rather, it is complementary, and we believe in everything.
Alhamdulillah, Rilamin, Jazakumullah Khair. We'll go on a break now because it'll be nice to take reactions from our audience. We'll go on a break and we'll come back from the break. We'll share the phone line. Stay with us.
سلام 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 جعلنا السلام شيارا لنا وباسم السلام اتقينا هنا لتجعل يا رب أيامنا على هذه الأرض بشرى السلام peaceful peace we made peace a symbol of ours in the name of peace we gather here now oh Lord please make these days of ours on this earth filled with peace salam 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 salam
salam salam salam peace beautiful peace peaceful peace is all we are spreading, and that's what we have for you today on the show. I'm still joined by Sheikh Najim Jimo. We're talking about Jesus, peace be upon him, and his mother Mary, and all the miracles that Allah granted them. And you can find that in the Quran. Just visit chapter 5 of the Noble Quran from verses 109. I think that's what Imam said. 109, Imam, you said chapter 5, verse 109, right?
Yes.
Alhamdulillah, so, I'm a good student, mashallah. Although it's from chapter 5, verse 109, and you keep going. Alternatively, you can also, not alternatively, in addition to this, please check chapter 19 from verse 16 to 34 so you can see exactly how Allah described the birth of Jesus, peace be upon him. Phone lines are open, 07000-917-917. 07000-917-917. It's the number to call to be a part of the show. Please state your name, your location, and your contribution. Keep it short and simple. Don't sermonize us, please. We already have a sermon going on, alhamdulillah. Just give us straight to the point feedback, inshallah. Alternatively, you can send us SMS or WhatsApp on 070-317-56537. 070-317-56537. It's number to send your SMS or WhatsApp. Imam, I still have a few more questions for you, inshallah, before any calls start to come through. Now, how does the story of Jesus, peace be upon him, and Mary contribute to the broader message of unity among the Abrahamic religions, right? While we Muslims, we unanimously believe that Jesus Christ is a creature, is a messenger from Allah, he's the one of many other messengers and prophets, most Christians on the other hand believe that he is either God Almighty or the Son of God. Should he be a symbol of unity or division between the Abrahamic faiths? Well, how do we reconcile, you know, what do we do to make, you know, move closer to the unity that we want to achieve, inshallah?
Okay, thank you. For a start, the Abrahamic faith are Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Okay, so for us as Muslims, and to a large extent, the Christians, Jesus was and is a symbol of unity. But you would only appreciate this if you consider the position of the third faith of
Imam, sorry, Jesus, we had a call come through. But just go on. I think we missed him already. Just go ahead, please.
Okay, so I was saying you would only appreciate the position of Islam on the person of Jesus Christ and his mother, if you consider the position of the Jews regarding the same people that we have spoken about. For a start, the Jews do not believe in the immaculate birth of Jesus Christ.
Right.
We Muslims, we do. On the contrary, they accuse his mother of unchastity. They believe that Jesus was fathered by Joseph. No Muslim would utter
Hello, Imam. Looks like we've lost you.
And regarding his mission, the Jews believe him to be an impostor. They do not believe in him as the Messiah. The Quran actually describes him as the Messiah.
No.
And they believe his own life and existence.
Imam, sorry to cut in. We'll have a call. Right? Imam, we'll have a call. Hello, assalamu alaikum. Hello. Hello, you're true to us. Your name and where you're calling us from. Okay, the networks are misbehaving. I forgive you, all your networks. All of you, you're forgiven. Just let my calls come through. Imam, please go ahead.
Okay, so we were discussing Jesus as a symbol of unity.
No.
And I was saying that to us Muslims.
We have a call, Imam. Sorry to cut in. Hello, good morning. Oh, such a shame. Right, Imam, sorry, please go ahead.
Okay, now, so I was saying the Jews believe in the entire existence of Jesus, alayhi salatu wassalam, right, to be a fraud.
No.
But on the contrary, we Muslims, we believe that he was sent with the Injil, the gospel, right? But the Jews do not believe in this, right? Remember, there are three faiths that are called the Abrahamic faith, Islam, Christianity,
and Judaism.
Right? The Jews have their own Bible, different from the Christian Bible. And they actually call it the Jewish Bible. Right? Whereas the Jewish Bible contains messages from the Torah sent through Prophet Moses, alayhi salatu wassalam, right? Their Bible does not contain messages from the gospel. A Jew would not enter a church under any circumstances because they believe Christianity to be an idolatry worship. And you know the funniest part of this? They would actually consider entering a mosque.
Imam, just a quick one. Hello, good morning. Assalamu alaikum. You're true to the studio. Hello. Your name and where you're calling from, please. Hello? Okay. We will not give up. Just keep trying, please. We won't give up. Please don't give up. Imam, please go ahead. So, yes, the Jews won't consider going into the place of worship of the Christians because they do not believe. Just go on.
Because they believe Christianity to be idolatry worship.
Right.
Right? But it's so funny that the same Jews will give entering a mosque consideration in certain circumstances because they believe that, like them, we worship the one true God, right? Whereas they believe Christianity to be a religion founded on idolatry. And it is because of the Trinity that they consider Christianity idolatry. Right. Another point of unity for us Muslims is that, generally speaking, we are allowed to eat the food of both the Jews and the Christians.
Absolutely, Imam. Just hold your thoughts. We're allowed to eat the food of Christians and the Jews. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Alhamdulillah, finally. All right, your name and where you're calling from?
Yeah, I'm calling from Ijoko.
Your name is Sango Ijoko. Your name
is... Yeah, my name is Michael.
Brother Michael, you're welcome to the show. You're with us. Please go ahead with your contribution.
Yeah, not contribution. I want to just answer this question thing. Just wanted to tell me this question.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, the Muslim worshiping God, praying to God through Jesus Christ or through Muhammad.
Okay, I got your question. Yeah. I got your question. Please stay on the line. Stay with us. You can call the call. We'll respond right now. Imam, Brother Michael from Ijoko is asking us a question. Do Muslims worship God through Jesus Christ or through Muhammad? That's his question. Do Muslims worship God through Jesus Christ or through Muhammad?
Jesus Christ, alayhi salatu wassalam, peace be upon him, was a messenger of Allah, a messenger of God.
Right.
Sent with a book. Right. Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was the last of the messengers of God, the seal of prophethood, after whom no other prophet was sent, will be sent. Right? The message that was sent through the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is intended as the last of the messages to be sent to mankind. And that is why we believe in all the prophets who came before Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, including Jesus, including Moses, including David, including Solomon, right? Mm-hmm. It's a requirement of our faith to believe in all of them. Now, in terms of worshiping through, right? We do not worship Allah through anyone.
No.
We worship Allah through the message that is sent through his prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If we want something from God, right, we are not allowed to say in the name of Muhammad,
right,
please do this for us, or because of Muhammad, do this for us, right? It is not allowed for a Muslim to do that. A Muslim goes directly to his Lord. And many times, in many places in the Quran, the Prophet said that he was human like us.
No.
And he was no more than a slave of the one who sent him. So the Muslims believe in the message of Islam as sent through the Quran. But the message was sent through someone, that person being Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But we do not worship God through him.
No.
We worship Allah directly between him and us as he has commanded.
No.
And I hope that answers the question.
I hope so too. The phone line is still open. 07000-917-917 is the number to call to be part of the show. 07000-917-917. Alternatively, you can send us SMS or WhatsApp to 07030-317-56537. 07030-317-56537. I think I have time to I'll let you wrap up on the question we were just responding to about the unity amongst all these three Abrahamic religions. I'll let you wrap it up. I have a few more questions for you, sir.
Okay, the point I was making before the question came in was that we Muslims, we are allowed to eat of the food of the Christians and the Jews,
true,
generally speaking.
Right.
Because I should say that we are not allowed to eat of the foods that are made to celebrate any of their festivals. A Muslim cannot accept a meal that is designated Christmas meal, for instance, and we cannot accept a meal from a Jew that is designated with respect to any of their festivals. But generally speaking, we are allowed to eat from the Christians and the Muslims. I'm also aware that the Christians, or at least the born-again Christians,
right,
are not allowed, for instance, to accept the meal that the meals that come out of our
Eid celebrations. Now, Imam, let me interrupt you very quickly. We have a message on WhatsApp. Although this person didn't state their name or their location, says, Assalamu alaikum. This is really an interesting topic. The Quran describes Jesus Christ as the Messiah, Masih, Isa bin Maryam. If the Muslims believe this, why are they not Christians? Very interesting question for you, sir. If we believe Jesus is Messiah, the Messiah, then why aren't we Christians?
Jesus was sent but to the lost sheep of the people of Israel.
Okay.
Jesus was not sent to the entire world. And even if he were to have been sent to the entire world, right, it was while he was living, because messengers then came after him, and the last of the messengers. And it's interesting, no Muslim or Christian or Jew has said that a messenger came after the noble prophet Muhammad
sallallahu
alayhi wa sallam. So the only message from God that is subsistent today is the message of Islam and the message of the Quran. Our description of Jesus as the Messiah is as he was when he was sent, and the way he was at the time that he was sent is the way it is stated in the Quran. No. But the message of Jesus ended a long time ago.
And
that is why we cannot be Christians.
Okay, alhamdulillah. I'm so sorry to cut in. Pressed for time. Another question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. I'd like to appreciate the radio station and the guests for discussing this important topic. My question is this. During the Imam's opening statement, he said that Muslims are commanded to believe in Allah, in the prophets and messengers, in the angels, and in the revealed books. Do Muslims believe in the New Testament as the Injil revealed to Jesus, peace be upon him, and the Old Testament as the Torah revealed to Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam? That's the end of his question. Do Muslims believe in the Injil and the Torah, the Old and the New Testaments?
Yes, we do, in their original forms, not in the forms that they exist today, because the New Testament especially has been tampered with so much. You have this version and that version. You have the King James's version, and there's no time to go into the history of what even led
to the revisions
and then the emergence of the Church of England. Right, so we believe in these books and all the revealed books in the original form in which they were sent. Right, it may interest my Christian listeners that the word Christianity does not exist in the Bible even once. There is nothing called Christianity in the Bible, whereas you find the word Islam in Islam. The word Christian exists only 3 times in the Bible, right? And in each of the 3 times, it was used as a singular, Christian, right? You will not find the word Christians as a plural in the Bible. But back to the question, we believe in those books in their original forms, not in the adulterated.
So when you say in the original forms, where are these original forms? Can they still be accessible? Do we have access? Can we find them? Where are these original forms?
I think we should ask the Christians and the Jews, not the Muslims.
Okay,
yes.
Fair enough. So we the Muslims that believe in the Injil and the Torah, we believe in it to the extent that in any case we have the contents from those messages in the Quran. It's all encompassing. The Quran has summed it all up. Is that a comfortable way to put it, or is that a true position?
Yes. What is important for us to know from this book are part of the Quran. The story of Moses, alayhi salatu wasalam, is so long in the Quran. Right? The story of Yusuf, is so long.
In fact, the whole chapter is dedicated to Yusuf, peace be upon him.
Joseph.
Right.
We have been talking about Jesus, we have been talking about Mary, and all this, and we find in the Quran verses which correspond to the same verses in the Bibles, or in some of the Bibles, not all of the Bibles.
Very true. We are running out of time. Just to wrap it up, Imam, in a I honestly have so many more questions, but on a final note, what is the explanation of the concept of Antichrist in Islam? I know you mentioned the second coming of Christ. Every single Muslim that is worthy of being called a Muslim believes in the second coming of Christ. I'd like you to touch on the second coming of Christ very briefly, if you can wrap it up in 2 minutes, and the Antichrist, second coming of Christ. Can you put this off in 2 minutes, please?
Okay. Islam believes, and Muslims are expected to believe in the Antichrist, known to us as Dajjal or Al-Masih Ad-Dajjal. And that means the false or the deceitful Messiah. That is how it is described.
Imam, a quick call. Hello, good morning. Assalamu alaikum. Hello. Oh, one more time. Okay. Imam, please go ahead. Ad-Dajjal. I'm Masih Dajjal.
Who is the Dajjal? He's a figure who is going to emerge towards the end of time. And his emergence is actually one of the big signs that the world is about to end. Upon his emergence, he will imitate some of the miracles of Jesus, such as healing the sick. And he will be doing this, with the aids of the demon. So the inevitable emergence of the Dajjal is also one of the reasons why Jesus is coming back, because people would have been confused by the appearance of the Antichrist. Dajjal. So the second coming of Jesus will make things clear. The Dajjal will be overpowered by Jesus and is actually going to be killed by Jesus as well. And it is after this would have happened, alongside other big miracles, such as the sun rising from the west instead of the east, it is when all this would have happened that Allah will bring the world to an end. So, it's part of the Islamic faith to believe in the existence of the Antichrist and his appearance being one of the signs of the hour.
Imam, thank you so much. I wish we could go on. I wish we could extend this, subhanAllah, but we are out of time today. Inshallah ta'ala, many, many more Saturdays to be here and enlighten each other about the beautiful faith called Islam. Jazakumullah khairan for your time. May Allah make this way heavier on your scale of good deeds. May Allah forgive whatever errors we've committed in this transmission. And to all of our callers, the ones who try to get through, Brother Michael, that got through from Ijoko, God bless you all. Have a lovely, lovely holiday period and stay blessed with your families. I leave you with peaceful peace. Salamun salam. We'll see you next week, inshallah.
سلام 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 جعلنا السلام شيارا لنا وباسم السلام اتقينا هنا لتجعل يا رب أيامنا على هذه الأرض بشرى السلام Peaceful peace. We made peace a symbol of ours. In the name of peace we gather here now. Oh Lord, please make these days of ours on this earth filled with peace. Salam, 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 salam. Salam, 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 salam. Salam, 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 salam. Salam, 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 salam. فيا رب إنك أنت السلام ومنك السلام وعندك السلام لأمرك يرجع أمر الأنام وبين يديك قلوب الأنام Peaceful peace. So Lord indeed you are salam. From you comes salam and with you is salam. To you belongs the command of all things. Between your hands are the hearts of all beings. Salam, 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 salam. Salam, 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 salam. Salam, salam.